Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us. We welcome you to the show. Today is Thursday, December the 4th, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. We're having an awesomely beautiful day here in Wilmington, North Carolina, and we are delighted that you're here to share with us. We are just blessed every time we have the opportunity to talk about first century Aramaic forgiveness and tying all of these disciplines together, the theological, or what was considered theological, but is really psychological and physics. Tying in the physics with quantum theory, the latest that they're understanding is, as we've been talking the last couple of days, that in order for a quantum wave to collapse, it needs an observer. And that observer provides the energy through resonance that locks in. You know, you put together Marcel Vogel's work from decades ago, where he had a camera to take a picture of the high energy waves that leave the mind when we think a thought. Literally, the observer effect I would offer, and I don't know that anybody in the physics world is speaking about this. They probably don't have Marcel's research, but Marcel shows that leaving the mind when we think a thought is a high energy wave. And these quantum that they say are waves spread out over space until there's an observer and then it collapses. My offering is that through resonance, through the interchange, the same way that a middle C tuning fork causes a second middle C tuning fork to start to vibrate, if I'm in resonance with a certain quantum potential, I literally provide the tie down. It's spread out over space and all of a sudden it collapses into what we call a particle. And so we live in this energetic world, and our creatorship lies in our ability to choose which energies we're going to lock into, which energies we're going to hold in our minds, and which literally quantum waves we are going to cause to collapse within our environment. And the process of forgiveness is the process of removing the tie down. So whatever you've locked down inside of you, through generational patterns, through energetic dynamics that you're either conscious or unconscious of, and sadly most people are unconscious of the fact that they're even involved in this quantum process. And we talked yesterday about the Course in Miracles and how the forgiveness process is the key, and the unforgiving mind, of course, each idea that we went through yesterday with that unforgiving mind is full of fear, leaves love no room to be itself, and on it goes, that becomes the energy that ties down or locks the quantum potential of hostility, fear, rage, guilt, grief, fear within us. And when we apply the tool of forgiveness, it looses that. It loosens it. You go back to Yeshua, it says he was given the power to loosen things on earth. You have the power to loose everything in you. based in hostility or fear. But you have to access it, and you have to pull off the tie down. And that's what first century Aramaic forgiveness does. Now, of course, if one walks into the space, what they hold in their minds strengthens the energy of what's going to happen in that space. So the skeptic says, well, just prove it all to me. I want you to show me. But, you know, in the space of the skeptic, what do we have? We have an energy that goes against that subtle quantum process. And so the skeptic gets to prove themselves true. And so the space that it all happens in, you know, you've heard us talk before about the lion, the two young Englishmen bought at a department store actually in London, and then raised until it was just too big for them to handle. And they send this lion, crate it up, send it off to a preserve in Africa, and a year later they want to go visit their lion. But the preserve owners are like, no, you don't understand. This thing is now a wild beast that would tear you to pieces if you were to visit it now. And they say, well, we want to come visit our lion. And they send these two young men out with a guard that has a high-powered rifle because they know they're going to have to shoot this lion because they're just going to tear these guys to shreds. And as the lion comes charging down the hill at them, I can remember hoping this is the right lion. It's this huge creature comes charging down the hill toward these two young men. And the guy's there with his high-powered rifle ready to shoot it. And the lion approaches them, jumps up on them, wraps its paws around them, just like it's hugging them, licks on them, kisses, just like a huge kitten. And it's just obviously so overjoyed to see it, to see these two young men that raised it from a pup. But tying in with our idea of this quantum potential, what's, I think, more impressive in that video is that this lion's mate, and you can go to our website and watch the video. You can also, of course, Google it easily. It's on YouTube or wherever. I'm sure it's in many, many different sites. It's a pretty awesome video. But I'm sure that Christian, the lion's name is Christian, I'm sure that Christian the lion did not give its mate instructions up the hill. I'm sure that Christian didn't stop and say, by the way, these are my friends, don't eat them. But when he comes down the hill, the female comes with him, and just like, again, a giant kitten, the female walks over to these two humans, rubs up against them, and allows them to pet her. How does that happen? Called a space. The problem with the skeptic, the problem with the person who wants to destroy the higher possibilities, is that they tend to carry a lot of emotional charge around what they believe. And, of course, they believe that, you know, nothing is nothing is nothing. And the self-declared skeptic becomes the space where the subtle energy is, the subtler energies are more difficult to work with, because they hold an energy that goes in the opposite direction. So, you know, you don't necessarily need to start proving it to the skeptic, because they're just, you'll have lots of people, believe me, you'll have lots of people, when you start to do this work and you see the magnificent changes that happen, and the people around you see those awesome changes, you're going to have lots of people that say, what happened? What are you doing? This is awesome. Don't believe that they all want to know. Many of them will be contributing an energy with which they hope to destroy your newfound state of peace. And, of course, they can only do that if you have something that is less than peace inside of you, so it'll be the opportunity for the next piece of your work. But, you know, just be aware that here we're talking about an energy dynamic, and the space that you hold is so important as to what happens in your life. And that idea of forgiveness, that we need to go in and remove what never belonged, because as you remove what never belonged, you literally evaporate, deconstruct those quantum waves that have turned into what we call matter. And of course, people can be brainwashed into any kind of reality that you can imagine, and then they'll go out and they'll produce actualities to experience it. The lesson that we talked about, forgiveness is the key to happiness, talks about that. The idea that if, in essence, if you're unhappy, you're unhappy because you hold collapsed within you literally quantum waves of rage, of guilt, of grief, of fear, of sadness, of hatred, of vengeance. And there's not much peace when those are the literal energetic influences that are bouncing around, literally putting off energy within your structure. And the only person that can do that to you is you yourself. If you do it unconsciously, it will seem that it is at the hands of others. But the truth is, we do it to ourselves. And when we move into a different place, and the different place is the place of responsibility. And many people, when they hear the word responsibility, they don't hear the word responsibility. What they hear is, you mean I'm the guilty party? I'm at fault? I'm to blame? I'm the one who's bad? I'm the one who's evil? I'm the sinner here? And you'll notice that when you enter into this process that we're teaching, it's called the no-fault process. The idea is to let go of the idea of fault and to take responsibility, which means not that you're responsible for what somebody else is doing, but that your mind plays a part in everything that happens in your world. And the way you recapture
the part... Okay, you just disappeared. Oh, you're
okay.
Back.
I'm not sure what happened.
But I had you the whole time, Michael.
So the way that we recapture the part of our minds that have collapsed quantum waves of pain within us is to take responsibility for those. If I have a capacity to feel pain, it's because I have a frequency within me called pain, and that's been solidified. That's got one of those, as we talked about it earlier, tie downs on it that causes that wave to collapse. Forgiveness loosens the tie down and lets that energy, literally lets the quantum, the wave that has produced the particle go back to its waveform and disappear. And so the idea, there's a session in the Laws of Living. It's page 502 in the text, page 505 in the new workbook. And the section is called Responsibility for Sight. And it's a very powerful section. And here's where it starts out. It says, and there's a great promise here. This is the only thing you need do for vision, happiness, release from pain, and the complete escape from error all to be given you. Say only this. Now, everybody would get really excited. Boy, all we have to do is say this. But they've got this little addendum in there. So say only this, but mean it with no reservations. And notice how much time you spend in denial. Notice how much time you spend talking about how somebody else did it to you. Remember, our definition of denial is when I think or speak a thought that something outside of me has caused something inside of me, I dissociate from that energy inside of me which causes my pain, my turmoil, or my trauma. So this particular lesson says, say only this, but mean it with no reservation, for here lies the power of healing. I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I will achieve. And everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. Now, when you start looking from the traditional mind at that one, that's insane. Most people are like, wait a minute, you haven't been reading my mail. I haven't been asking for this kind of stuff. Not in a million years. I would never ask for this. Okay? I hear you loud and clear. You would never say, give me this, as in, you know, the traditional idea of asking. But you have engaged in that mind energy. And as you've engaged in that mind energy, you've produced a result. And that's where your asking is. And when I begin to be responsible for that asking, then I can let that go. So this particular lesson on responsibility for sight goes on. It's a pretty cool lesson. It says, deceive yourself no longer that you are helpless in the face of what is done to you. Acknowledge but that you have been mistaken, and all effects of your mistakes will disappear. It is impossible that the son or daughter of the Creator be merely driven by events outside themselves. It is impossible that happenings come to you that are not your choice. Your power of decision. Now, here they're talking about resonance and physics. They're not talking about theology. Your power of decision is the determiner of every situation in which you seem to find yourself by chance or accident. And no accident nor chance is possible within the universe as the Creator created it, outside of which is nothing. Suffer, and you decide an error was your goal. Be happy, and you gave the power of decision to him who must decide for love for you. In other words, there's a higher part of you that will help you to make some new choices. And as you make those new choices, you have to give something up, and you give up your victimhood. And as you give up your victimhood, everything changes. And literally, in the twinkling of an eye, you know, when they said the world would be transformed in the twinkling of an eye, they were saying that from the perspective of understanding quantum physics and how it worked. So this particular lesson goes on to say, the world you see, and remember that, you know, the Course talks so often about the world you see, the world you see, the world you see, the world you see, the world you see. And you think you see the world outside of you. You cannot see the world outside of you. You see the world fabricated from within you. And it is your own individual hallucination. If you can touch it, it's the world the Creator created. If you can see it, it's the world you created. So the world you see is but the idle witness that you were right. This witness is insane. You trained it in its testimony, and as it gave it back to you, you listened and convinced yourself that what it saw was true. You did this to yourself. See only this, and you will see how circular the reasoning on which you're seeing rests. And I'm just skipping a couple of paragraphs to move into the next key thought here. So, and here's where the core of forgiveness happens. For those who've been working with the worksheet, here's a place where the Course in Miracles describes the first century Aramaic forgiveness process. It says, be willing for an instant to leave your altars, A-L-T-A-R-S, free of what you placed upon them. And what is really there, you cannot fail to see. So how do you leave, and your altar is basically just your conscious awareness. How do you leave your conscious awareness free of the world you see? Well, in each case where you see something because you have a goal that drives that process. And you'll notice the core of the forgiveness process, the reality management worksheet, is the canceling of those goals. So when you cancel those goals, and when you recognize that the construct, the complex construct of literally a whole world exists between yours, a whole, you know, you go to that lesson, what is the world? The world is false perception. You recognize that you have a whole world of false perception between your ears, and the complexity of that is huge. It's based on 1,000 generations of insanity if the world you see is about hostility and fear. So in this particular section in the Course says, undoing is not your task, but it is up to you to welcome it or not. What does it mean to welcome forgiveness? You welcome forgiveness by looking at the driver behind the process, which is your mind's current goal, and canceling it. And you know, this lesson goes on to say, the goal of error induces perception of a fearful world to justify its purpose. What you desire, you will see. And if its reality is false, you will uphold it by not realizing all the adjustments you've introduced to make it so. So the reality, the output of your mind, is a false picture. And a thousand things inside your mind go into making that picture appear to be true. But there is another possibility. And the other possibility is to step into the recognition that, and this is so powerful, it is needful that you recognize you made the world you see. You made the world you see. How did you make it? Well, you and a thousand generations in your bloodline have put energies into your structure that have solidified those energies and created a whole world of perception. Now, there's an earlier lesson in the course that talks about perception is a device made by you to take the place of what you were given in creation. And so as you decide or you choose to let go of that world, the way that you welcome it is that you cancel the goal that drives the whole process. And when you cancel the goal that drives the process, everything changes. So my part in the process, if it's unconscious, if I simply engage in any form of hostility or fear, then I am unconsciously in the creative process producing that world that I see.
Dr. Kim, I'm not sure if you can validate, I think.
Say it again, Jeannie.
There, you're back. You disappeared again for about two sentences.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure how and why. But anyway, let's say hello to Dr. Tim. I'm complete. Hey, young man, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I was hearing you all the way. I think something's cutting out on Jeannie's phone.
Okay, awesome. Okay. That's a good thing.
Okay. Good feedback.
I'm doing quite well. I'm thrilled, as usual, to be working with the tools, and I've had a couple lovely sessions so far today with people who are seeing fabulous results, and they're learning how to, you know, in a way do exactly what you were just talking about, separate themselves from all of these false appearances and go inside and find a loving space within them, and then realize that they don't have to wait for the outside conditions to change for them to feel better. And then within a short period of time, they realize the outside conditions are starting to change. So I've heard some lovely stories about people having success. I got a wonderful email from someone who was thanking me for holding the groups on Tuesday because of the benefits they're already receiving. And I'm, you know, I was reminded of, as you were talking about this in this lesson, how we've had people come to the Mindshifters group in the past who have studied Course in Miracles and get quite angry and upset because they listened to your lecture and your lecture says the world is real. And they wanted to debate me about, you know, what the Course in Miracles says about how the world isn't real. And I said, well, I can't really address that because I haven't read the Course in Miracles yet. And they said, what do you mean? And I said, well, I haven't read it. I've been introduced to it through other teachers who have quoted it, but I haven't studied it. And either way, my position is, if that's what you'd like to hear and that's what works well for you, then that's okay. But I don't need to fight with you about it. And they kind of got all puffed up and then deflated, and then we moved on. And it reminded me of when Dale Allen Hoffman came in the spring. He came here to the Woodstock area and did a talk, and he mentioned how his goal in doing his work and teaching the way he does is to help people step into behaviors which give them new experiences. He's not interested in arguing at an academic level or a semantic level. He's interested in what works. And he mentioned how so many people that he's run into who do Aramaic studies or who have studied the Course in Miracles, they study it and they memorize it and they've got all the words down, and then they want to attack you with the book to prove to you that they're right and you're wrong because here's the words and this is what they say and this is what they mean. And Dale said, that's how I know the person has completely missed the point of the scriptural teaching. Anytime anybody wants to argue with me or get angry about a scriptural teaching, he said, I know they've missed the point. They haven't done the internal work. They haven't moved to that space of feeling the loving nature within them and allowing what is. And they've... there's something you said in a couple of your talks I've heard you say. When you misinterpret the words and you don't go into the experience of the teaching, that's how you can get so twisted around that you say, I have come to bring you the message, the news of my all-powerful, all-loving, all-forgiving God, and if you don't accept it, I'll have to kill you. And so all
it is,
those things,
it is an amazing oxymoron, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's those very words came out of one of those lectures I mentioned that's on YouTube from this young spoken word artist, Prince E.A., and that very same phrase comes out of him. So people are getting it at a younger and younger level that if it doesn't make sense, then back up and drop into an experience, prove to yourself it works, and then it won't matter to you if other people accept it or not, or if other people agree with you or not. You will have gotten the benefit of the teaching. And, you know, Abraham Hicks says, words don't teach. Experience is the only thing that teaches. So all those things were floating around in my head when I was listening to you. And that's all the specifics I have to offer today.
Awesome. Yeah, it is pretty amazing the violence and the viciousness that comes out of the supposedly religious mouth. It is just pretty strange. Actually, of course, we're here in Wilmington, North Carolina, and Susan is hosting us. And with the fact that I need to fly out to pick up our new used van, I had considered we're supposed to speak at this church, something unusual. We don't usually do this, but for the second week in a row, we're doing the Sunday service. And I had asked Susan this morning if I chose to do that, would she be willing to do the Sunday service? Her chosen service, the title that she talked about presenting was, What Would Love Do? And if we can start asking ourselves that question, what would love do, then, of course, love would love, and then love would love, and then love would love again, as opposed to attack and, you know, do all the crazy things that people do, supposedly, in the name of love. it's such an interesting process, and how the non-being mind has made it so complex. I love that line in the Course. It says, you trained it in its testimony, and as it gave it back to you, you convinced yourself that what he saw was true. You did this to yourself. And as we enter into that forgiveness process, and for anybody who's new to the show, or if you haven't yet put the pen to the paper, we invite you to engage in the process of first century Aramaic forgiveness. And the way to do that, or if you don't have access to those tools, you can go to our website. You can do it free on www.whyagain.org. You'll see a bullseye in the middle of the page. If you click that bullseye, it will take you to a whole series of links. And the third in this, the first link is chapter 24 of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? The second links into all of the different reality management search worksheets that we've published over the last 35 years, from the simplest to the most complex. And once again, we appreciate Angela, who's assembling those into one long-form worksheet. That's really cool, Angela. Of course, I'm just pulling your chain. But in any event, the first link at the top of that series of links is the most current seven-step worksheet. We invite you to start there. And then the third link opens another series of links where there are about 14 or so different radio shows where either Dr. Tim or Jeannie or myself have walked somebody through the whole forgiveness process. So for free on the site, you can listen to those MP3s or you can download them and load them on your phone or your computer or what have you. And there are 14 different sets of custom instructions that walk people through the whole reality management forgiveness process. So we invite you to take hold of that, put it to work in your life. Watch how the changes take place. Watch the quantum shifts that occur. So that's what we're here to support, and you're welcome to go to those links and pick up those tools. We also, of course, have Why Is This Happening to Me Again, the book on CD. You can buy that if you'd like to do that. If you'd like to find a way to support us, you can buy the DVD of Why Is This Happening to Me Again. There's a 2-hour and a 4-hour. Actually, if you buy the 4-hour, you get the 2-hour free. There's a 4-hour Why Is This Happening to Me Again audio CD set that you can pick up off the website. So there are lots of free tools, lots of paid tools. You can also come and join us for the workshops that we're doing tonight. We're in Wilmington, North Carolina, and at Unity we'll be presenting Codependence to Interdependence. Tomorrow night we'll do Laws of Living, and then on Saturday we'll step into and do the Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing workshop, and then Sunday we're going to look at the 5 Aramaic Keys of Yeshua. So lots happening here in Wilmington, North Carolina this week, and then we'll head to Panama City 2 weeks from Sunday. A week from Sunday we'll be in Panama City, Florida, and then we'll be in Fort Walton Beach the next weekend. Then we'll be in Tampa doing Unity North in Tampa. Then we'll be at Unity of St. Petersburg. We'll be heading down into Miami. We'll be doing a week of workshops at the Universal Truth Center in Miami. Awesome group of people there. It's been a few years since I've spoken there. I'm really looking forward to being back there. And then we'll head up north. We'll be in Fort Lauderdale, Sebring, Pompano. Jeannie's going to be doing the Healing Women Retreat in 1 day in Delray Beach at the Duncan Center through Unity of Pompano. And we'll go up and do a week at the Unity of Sebring. And then we'll be heading to Orlando, where we'll start a 20-day teacher training. And the 20-day teacher training is a very experiential process. And the first 9 days of it, Jeannie and I will be doing concurrent intensives. She's going to do the Healing the Whole Woman intensive, and I'm going to be doing Why Is This Happening to Me Again. Then we'll do 3 days of training on the personal code evaluation, which we now have available online and are making available to teachers to really pinpoint and support people in being able to key right into where time is best spent by tapping into those issues. And so we'll do 3 days of that, and then we'll do a 9-day teacher training. So if someone hasn't done either Jeannie's Healing the Whole Woman or Why Is This Happening to Me Again, then those are a prerequisite. One of those is a prerequisite to go into the teacher training. If you've done one of those workshops previously, then you can go straight into the teacher training. And we'd be delighted to have you share with us in any of those events that we'll be doing. We'll finish that in, you know, toward the end of April, and then we'll be heading up and into Atlanta. We'll be doing a week of workshops in Atlanta, and then we're kind of looking at where the schedule is going to go, and then we'll be back in July beginning at Heartland with a 10-day food, fun, and forgiveness. And Jeannie's going to be doing an 8-day healing the whole woman, I'll do a 9-day, why is this happening to me again? We'll do a laws of living. We'll do a 16-day codependence to interdependence communication practicum. Schedule's all on the website. So there are lots of ways to access the tools, free and paid ways to do that. And, of course, at this point, if you're thinking about doing an intensive, we could really use the support if you choose to jump in and register. That would be really helpful because last week we had our engine in our van throw a bearing. And so Sunday I'm flying up to pick up a new used van. And that one, you know, when we bought it, it had about 275,000 miles on it. It just isn't worth the money it takes to replace the engine. So we found another van. And so if you're going to do an intensive, we'd appreciate your registering. That would be helpful to help us to put that van together and get back on the road. So we say a thank you to Jeannie's dad for happening to have this big, beautiful Mercury Marquis that has lots of room in it, so that we were able to borrow that and drive out of Bristol last week to be here in Wilmington. And Jeannie will actually, when we finish the Sunday service, she'll drop me off at the airport, and I'll head to St. Louis to pick up the our new used van, and Jeannie will drive to Bristol, and I'll turn around, drive back to Bristol, and then we'll get to work and reinstalling all of the cabinets and shelves and just all that it takes to outfit the van and get back on the road so that we can be down in Panama City. So we appreciate your participation, and we are here to support you 100%. If you start using the worksheet off of the website or off of the DVD or the CD, we invite your questions. We want to hear from you. We want to support you. We want you to be outrageously successful at forgiveness and all the corollary tools that we've developed. So Jeannie tells me that we've got a couple of callers. So let's say hello. Jeannie, hello.
All right. The first one, I think, is Julie, 541. You told her to call in early today, so she did. She's been on there since the beginning. Hi, Julie.
Awesome.
Hello.
Hey there, young lady.
Hi.
Welcome.
Well, I actually did miss the first 7 or 8 minutes, and my first question before I forget is, what was the number of the lesson you were reading from today?
Responsibility for Sight, 520, I believe it is, the section on responsibility for sight.
Okay, that's awesome. Thank you. And then another question that I have had is that I was noticing in all the Bibles that I have that the scripture about the bushel basket is not, they do not use the word bushel anymore in some of the editions I have. And I just, you know, instead they just call it a basket. But a bushel was a measuring device in those days, an actual quantitative amount. And so I wondered what Bible you might use, or, I mean, you're probably just going from memory on that verse, or, you know, where did you get that from? I know I've heard it before, too, but it sure isn't in any Bibles I've got right now.
Really? Well, I'm not sure where you'd find it there.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll ask Dale about that. You know, how did that word disappear amongst so many others? I mean, we've discussed before about how every time at publishing companies, they do not publish your Bible unless you've changed it by 20% from any other Bibles. So it's like changing what you're not supposed to be changing. And
that's
one of the changes.
Law.
Is that copyright
law? Yeah, you have to have at least 25% different to get a copyright on something. It's got to be at least 25% different than anything that is already copyrighted.
Okay. Okay, well, those are just those questions. Now, when I first tuned in at about 10 after, I heard you talking, I think, a little bit about people in our lives. And I guess I can't even repeat what you were saying, but what came up for me was I was remembering back to having finished my retreat in 2012 at Heartland and having gone through 2 weeks or 17 days of wonderful raw food recipes and just really changing my whole body system. And I came home and my partner at the time the first thing that he did was made a big pot roast, you know, a beef pot roast with potatoes and carrots and all that kind of stuff, you know, as an offering, a loving offering of dinner for me.
Right, yep.
With no, yeah, you know, no recognition. Well, no. Well, I didn't think so because, you know, it was directly opposed to what I had shifted in myself. And so what I'm noticing, and I didn't quite, I wasn't super conscious then. I was just starting to use worksheets, and I still didn't grasp them fully. And so it was a pattern, a dynamic that had that I had created with us. That came from my childhood of just accepting and receiving love any way somebody wanted to demonstrate it to me, you know, be it a meal or a, you know. So, and so I had this paradigm of having to receive love from power persons the way they gave it to me. And basically I succumbed and sabotaged myself and started eating meat and all that kind of stuff again. And it, you know, it took a lot of energy to remove that from myself temporarily at the retreat and the cost of the retreat and all of that. So I'm, so you were talking about victims. So I allowed myself from a pattern established in myself to go into victim. And it was so hard. It was, I didn't quite see it all then, but now I do. And I just, I guess now I ask for help from Rukh Dukhsha more immediately than hanging out in a pattern that doesn't feel good. So anyway, I just wanted to report that, I guess. And I also got to blame. I got to be in denial. I got to, you know, judge him for not really being supportive of true growth and all that. And but it was a reflection of me, too, not fully supporting myself. So, relationships do change.
Yeah, a couple of points that might be useful to really look at in that whole context is, one, to recognize that I suspect that he didn't sit down and go, well, let me see now, how can I create the most anti-healing meal that I can and serve it to her. I doubt that that was in his mind. I would bet that in his mind was, I'm going to just, you know, I only know how to cook certain things and here's something I know how to do a great job of. So I'm going to make this very elaborate meal to offer as an offering. And, you know, you might just want to look at how that brought up for you some sort of judgment or condemnation that you might need to be about forgiving and letting go of.
Right.
And as you get free of that, there'll be another piece in yourself. So that'll be one aspect of it. Another aspect, and there's probably some worksheets to do there, another aspect of it might be to recognize that you're still, if I use the song title that was put up by the kids a few years ago, looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces.
Mm-hmm.
And your power person didn't love you, and he didn't love you, and nobody's ever going to love you. And you've never loved anyone. Because love isn't a verb. It's not something we do to each other. It's not something we can get from each other. It's a state of being. It's who we are. And so perhaps as you start canceling that need, start doing some worksheets around that issue, then on another level you'll be able to collapse your mind's capacity for hostility or fear and go directly to the physiological presence of love that is in your field now and has nothing to do with anyone else approving of you or doing something for you. It's simply the state of human life, the state of being that you were given from the beginning and that the world teaches us to give up and we buy into it. So to look at how you're looking for love and it has to be done in your approved fashion, and that's basically the non-being mind's definition of love is approval. If you do it in the way I approve of you doing it, then I will love you, which isn't love at all, it's approval. And so I could imagine that the gentleman who created that meal for you probably had a power person, and the way that his power person made offerings to him was to feed him. And so he just did what his power person did, and I doubt that for one second the thought went in any direction other than, I want to give this as an offering. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking, I just did a quick Google, and KingJamesBibleOnline.org translates that Matthew 5:15 as, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on the candlestick. So there's a KingJamesBibleOnline.org.
Oh, and that was Matthew 5:15?
Yes.
I also sent you a text, Julie, with several Bibles that have it in there still, either as a bushel or a bushel basket.
Oh, good. I was looking at Luke 6:33, so, thanks. Good. Based on what you were saying about the world I see and the world I saw, I it's amazing how much I really did pick up in my parents' patterns and my family's patterns and culture of what love was as a verb, and I was always in confusion about what was the right loving thing to do, and children are to be seen and not heard, so I had to do that as a loving thing, and there's so much to sort out for me with regard to that, and I look forward to it, because then, like you said, I'll have more pieces of myself, which are not really a collection of fragmented pieces. Myself is already wholly a being of love. So
yes.
those fragments are just a big broken mirror that I don't need to see out of anymore.
Absolutely. You got that one.
Okay,
nice.
Well, thanks,
good work,
Michael. Okay.
All right,
thank
delighted.
You
have a blessed one. Lots of love.
Mm-hmm. Have a good week with some wonderful retreats. Okay, bye-bye.
I will.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
our next
caller. Greeting, lots of love. I invite everyone to bring in the full presence of their human lives into their physiology, and in that, there is an eternal flow of love available, lots of it. So let's go for it as human beings. Excuse me, Jeannie, go ahead.
Okay. Our next caller is area code 901. I think this is Memphis.
Hi there.
Well, it's probably Brenda.
It is Brenda. How are you doing today?
Hey there, young lady. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. I've really been enjoying the discussion today and all this week because it's hitting home really well. The question I was going to ask, I think I will save, because it's a pretty long question and I know we're getting close on time. So I'm just going to give the comment. One of the things I found out, I'm working with, I really like this, the functioning of the human mind chart. And so I've been doing a lot of referencing to that as I'm attempting, or as I am reaching my goal to do 5 worksheets a day.
It's neat to have that visual in front of you, isn't it?
It is. And one of the things that I started doing, I had mentioned a few days ago that what I had started doing is, before I checked the boxes on the worksheet, I actually write down an incident where I felt love or where I felt happy, or even writing down the symptoms that I'm having. And I'm finding that's being really helpful to attaching myself to the concept of love that really didn't have a lot of meaning for me.
Right.
And so
right.
What I found out with working with the work and been doing this morning, I woke up very early, is I was looking at the word negative under fear and then destructive and constructive. And so I've started looking at the semantics of things, and I started looking up in the dictionary the definition of negative to see if there was a different viewpoint of negative from my just ordinary one, which was not really triggering much under that intention. And one of the definitions that I found under negative was a photographic plate or film in which light and shadow are reversed. Well, the light bulb went on.
Interesting.
Yes, the light bulb went on, and I thought, oh, I can identify with that because that's exactly what we're talking about light and darkness being reversed in our through that filter that it's going through. So I started doing that with each one of the words, and I'd pick up a word in the definition that was strange to, or was not the my common understanding of it, and I would go look up that definition. And it was very interesting because every definition that I picked out and looked up led me right to another worksheet issue. So that was my comment.
That's awesome. I've never thought of the word negative as it relates to that filter in the mind. I've never thought of it in terms of the photographic plate, and that's great. I love your process. I love how your inquiring mind goes for it and brings new things forward. That's awesome. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It's, you know, from doing this work, and that's part of it. So I just want to toss that. And my question, I'll just ask either tomorrow or Monday on that, because I think that there's not quite enough time to really get into it. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. Very cool. And, of course, tomorrow we'll be doing Aramaic Friday. So we did talk to Dale, and Dale was, you know, he's been editing and working on his new book and some new materials. So he just slipped by Friday's show, and I know how that happens. Thank goodness Jeannie's always on the ball with that, or I would on occasion do the same. So Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room or anybody with a hand up?
No, nobody else has their hand up, and we're down to 5 minutes, so we could take another caller if someone – oh, a hand just went up. Area code 910, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Pat. And
well, hi there, young lady.
Hi, Ken. I was just wondering if you would speak a word or two about, since I'm new at this, about how to work with yourself when you tend to really put yourself down a lot.
Well, have you gotten in, Pat, have you gotten into doing the reality management worksheet process yet?
The what?
The forgiveness process that we teach the worksheet?
Yeah, I've been in your workshop. And so,
okay.
Yeah, I've done a couple of really powerful sheets, and realize how much I need to work on myself, and knowing the way I traditionally do that, I can be pretty mean to myself. And so, I just wondered if you have any thoughts about how to really begin that process.
Well, whenever you do a worksheet on yourself. You know, it's interesting, in the Aramaic language, the meaning of the word neighbor, you are your own neighbor. And so when you do the worksheet process and you put your name in number 1C, from there on, you will speak to yourself and treat yourself as though you are a third person. Just the same way if I was doing a worksheet on Charlie. I'll do that worksheet on myself as a third person and talk to myself in that regard. And that tends to lead to bigger openings in the worksheet process, as I've seen it. And so that would be a good starting point, is in that using that particular tool in that way.
Okay.
So I've got a situation where, you know, is there a particular situation you're working on in regard to self?
Oh, you can pick one. there are lots of different ones, but particularly how I respond to others in my family.
Okay. And so with others in your family, do you put yourself down before they have a chance to?
I probably live in that state.
Okay. So then
that's certainly how I was brought up. And I've spent my life, I guess, working on it, but it's only been in recent years that I've been able to really consider the idea of loving myself.
Okay, so then you could do actually kind of matching worksheets. If your power person, for instance, was Dad, and Dad used to put you down, and then you find yourself, you know, gee, Dad's not here, and here I roll along, and before anybody else can do it, I'm ready to put myself down. So I would do sort of parallel worksheets. I'd do a worksheet on Dad putting me down, and then I'd do a worksheet on myself putting myself down. And what did I want from Dad? Well, I wanted his approval and care and concern would be the goal. What do I want for myself? Oh, I want to be self-approving, have care for myself, concern for myself. And so go through the whole worksheet process, and what you might find is that doing the power person, a worksheet around your power person, and the way that you do the same thing to yourself will probably open some parts of the mind that otherwise wouldn't open. And so that would be my input. And as you
sounds like that's going to be about tonight, too. Tonight's
yes,
workshop.
That's exactly where we're going tonight. That's exactly where we're going tonight, yes.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Only we're going to have a different tool tonight, so we'll look forward to seeing you at codependence to interdependence. And we're down to the last few seconds, so I'm going to have to close the show out. Pat, I appreciate your call, and we'll look forward to seeing you tonight. Everybody, we appreciate you joining us each day that you join us. Tomorrow's Aramaic Fridays. Dale Allen Hoffman will be with us, and bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. We appreciate each person that chooses to tap into the work and create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Sleep.